Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Joining me is Pat and John. Well, here we are. Oh, how many things are taking place. I just want to encourage you that the Lord is in control. As I was spending time with the Lord this morning and hearing what he was just encouraging me with his word, that, you know, that despite anything that's going on, that you can be like a tree that's planted by the river, by the streams. Imagine if, you know, a tree needs water. And so you have to, as a matter of fact, I have a, you know, a couple trees of his blessing. Please live.
Testing the green thumb here.
Could I have a cup of fertilizer, please? That's how he said it. I don't know. A cup of porridge. And I was spraying it with water because for some reason my invention wasn't working.
Your invention? Do you tell?
Yeah, just put a bottle and kind of propped it up where it can actually take its own. Anyway, so so in that, what I did was I just found out a whole new technique. Oh, anyway, I'm sorry. I just entertained myself. And so he's as shocked as I am about this form. And then I never crossed my mind.
Okay.
Bring the stuff. No, that's revenge. That's
is
not.
It? Oh,
see the forehead? It's like revenge over there. Forgive him, Lord. You know not what he doeth.
Yes, Lord, forgive him.
You're right. You know, imagine, you know, trees need water. You have to water. As a matter of fact, when you first plant a tree, you have to give it a lot of water. I mean, a lot of water. It's almost ridiculous water. And when a person gets born again, it takes a lot of water. Mm. But quite often, some people would say a ridiculous amount of water, but it's not ridiculous because things are taking root.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's the water of God's word. It's becoming a disciple, you know, getting roots down and fruit up. And that's a very important thing. But so, you know, imagine if you're in a desert and you're planting a tree and you got to, you know, carry water to it. That's tough.
Mm-hmm.
But then imagine this. Imagine that you could do something in a way that God says, you know what? I'm going to make your life like a tree planted by the river.
Mm.
I mean, you're not going to have to tote water to it. Mm. Isn't that cool?
Wow.
Very.
And that's what he says. He actually talks about this in Psalms chapter 1. I just want to encourage you today that you can be like a tree planted by the river. I mean, you're going to have water, but imagine how deep your roots will go and how strong you'll be and how healthy you'll be by getting such nourishment.
That's right.
And he talks about that. He specifically says that not only that, and that just like a tree's leaves would be strong and, you know, leaves bring in all the photosynthesis that converts all the things and the elements to things that you need, kind of the conversion factor,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Earth science here, come on.
Well, you think about it. That's what the leaves are going to take. It's almost like the labor of our hands. It takes what's out there and converts things to bring us resource.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so the health of your leaves are really important, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
How healthy your leaves are. And of course, hence also fruit comes out, you know, in addition, mm-hmm. the leaves bring it cover and nourishment. And then imagine being prospered in all that you do. So I got good news for you, you know, this morning that God will do this for you. This will be your life. I mean, you mm-hmm. don't measure anything off of how people who don't know God talk about it. Don't measure prosperity. And what I'm talking about, don't measure it by your carnal knowledge or what you know from your, you know, bachelor's degree and whatever,
mm-hmm.
but measure it by the creator of everything. And so you can look at his word and he says, I'm talking about measure what I'm talking about success and fruitful and healthy leaves and planted by a stream. This is what he says. He says in Psalms chapter 1, he says, verse 1, he says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. There it is.
Yeah.
How many Christians today are just taking the counsel of the people who don't know God and walk it and running with it.
All the time.
And they go, I'm not blessed. And that's what I'm telling you how to be blessed.
I'm confused.
Blessed. Yeah, I know why you're confused.
Mm-hmm.
Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or the ungodly, or stand in the way of sinners. Now, he's not talking about blessed is the man who don't block somebody from sin. Or block somebody from sin. He's saying, blessed is the one who doesn't stand in sin.
That's right.
It's interesting that he doesn't say, blessed is the one who doesn't sin. He says, blessed is the one who doesn't stand in sin. It's a big difference, because we all sin. We all fall short of the glory.
Right.
Some people sin and are shocked, and things happen they don't want to happen in their life. And they understand that what Paul writes about to the Church of Rome in Romans chapter 7, that there's this battle going on. But they also understand a God who says that if you say you're without sin, you're a liar. But if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us from our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's important, because we were raunchous before we were righteous. But we're not righteous because of our works. We're raunchous in our own works, no matter how good it is.
Mm-hmm.
So he's saying, imagine that, just standing, just stay in there.
Mm-hmm.
And the enemy will tell you, well, you sinned, you might as well just stay here. And he's trying to get you to stand in the way of sinners.
Mm-hmm. Stay in the mud.
Stay in the mud. And don't do that. Just realize, you know, God's already told you this can happen. You know, get over any religious pride that you may have had, thinking that you don't need Jesus every day of your life and his guidance. And you took your eyes off the cross of Christ, and get back to God and don't stand there. And he says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, or stand in the way of the sinners, or in the seat of the mocker. Think about it. It's not mock. How many people are mocking today? It's just amazing. I mean, people make their money off mocking others and mocking. I mean, it's amazing, even in the name. I mean, they say that, you know, they're moving in on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ, but yet they're mocking our president. They're mocking our leaders. They're mocking, you know, there's a difference in having a conversation about reality and then mocking. And he says, listen, your life's not, I don't care, you can say what you want to, but if you want to have this fruitful, flourishing, lasting, prosperous life that I'm talking about, I'm telling you, this is the secret. Don't join in with the mockers. Don't join in with those mockers that are mocking. Realize God's well aware of everything that's going on, and we pray for those who are over us. Don't mock your parents. Don't mock your boss. Don't do that. And he says, but this is telling this man that's blessed, his delight is in the law, or the word of God, the word of the Lord. So in other words, if 82% of the regular church attenders are not reading God's word, they're not delighted. There's no delight in it. They're saying, I don't delight in picking up the Bible and reading and hiding God's word in my heart.
And notice there's a progression there from walking to standing to sitting.
Yeah, that's a whole nother topic in the context of that. But today I'm talking to you today about how to be fruitful and flourishing and lasting and prosperous. And that if 82% are not even touching their Bibles, then how in the world are you going to delight yourself in the law and the word of God? And so delight is just, you know, you're just joyful about it.
Right.
And so if somebody talks to you about the word of God and you go, I'm like, oh, come on. All you do is talk about God. It's like, well, first of all, I love him. Secondly, I hide his word in my heart that I wouldn't sin.
Right.
It keeps me away from sin and lets me know when I'm in it. And thirdly is, I want to have a blessed life.
Hello.
Yeah, hello.
I want to be fruitful, flourishing, lasting, and prosperous. And I'm trying to tell you, that's how you can be. But if you don't even bring his word up, you're not even delighting in it. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have it in you in the first place to bring out of you, there's no, I mean, it's not, so he's like, wait a minute, how come I'm not delighting in this? Think about this. You got to listen, what happens with this is if going the other way is like it just gets heavier and you walk your way into bondage. And I'll be talking probably more about that perspective after this a little bit later on. But you go deep into darkness, into bondage and captivity if you go the other route. And this is how you stay in the blessed route. like that tree planted by the river.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, you know, not only do I delight myself in the Word of God, but on the Word of God, I meditate on it day and night. I mean, I go to bed thinking about it. You should go to bed thinking about it. You should, if you wake up in the middle of the night, you're thinking about God. You're not thinking about, you know, some vocabulary here. You're thinking mm-hmm. about, you know, what God's saying. What is his wisdom over this whole situation? Or what is he saying to you? And his word will speak to you. It's living. It's active. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates even the dividing of thought, intent, and attitudes of the heart. I mean, it just kind of nails it. You know, something's going on. But also it's life to you. And it washes you. That is the water. That's the river that we're beside. And so if you're not by the Word of God, you're not by the river of God, then your tree is going to shrivel up and it's not going to be fruitful. And so he says, this is how you're fruitful, flourishing, lasting, and prosperous. You meditate on it. And think about it. Meditate. How many people meditate on it's amazing what people think about all the time. And some people just meditate on other people.
Mm.
It's like, yeah, I just meditate on who's my fault.
Mm.
You know? Or what's my fault.
Right.
Or I mean, some deflecting type things that people who deflect, you know what I'm talking about? Deflectors.
Oh, well, yeah.
Deflectors. Deflectors. And, or they spend their time thinking about, you know, some TV program. the earth's falling apart right now. Everything as we know as we change. Nobody even knows the Constitution exists, and I can't find a Bible. And you're talking about part two of what? <You know? laughs> And who said what to what and who? And anyway, so they're meditating on the particular television program, or they're meditating, you know, something.
Mm-hmm.
But meditate on, and then you could have, you know, demonic meditations on, you know, wrong imagery and wrong anger and all that type of stuff. Or you can just meditate on the Word of God day and night. It was so funny. This anti-Semite man was running in politics, and he was totally against the Jews. And he just said the Holocaust doesn't exist. And all these, you know, he just did all those terrible things as he's running. And then in the middle of why he's in public office, a huge revelation came to him that he didn't know about. His mama finally sat him down and said, "Honey, You're a Jew.
Oh, my goodness.
And his whole family was destroyed at the Holocaust. And
wow.
His mother told him the whole story. And it's like, I mean, what do you do when you're persecuting you, right? That was he was meditating on his own destruction and destruction of his family. And he first says he tried to hide it. And then eventually he had to, you know, it's the reality. How can I hide it?
Look, come
to grips with it. And realize that's why we meditate on God's word, because we all need Jesus. We can't, you know, lift ourselves over someone, or nobody's better than anyone except God's better than us. And we lay ourselves, we just meditate on his goodness and the love of God and his mercies and all the wonderful things. And he says, and if we do these simple things, he says, he's like a tree planted by the streams of water. He yields his fruit in season and his leaves don't wither. So those are the things that we have to do. And whatever he does prospers. I mean, don't you want to be prosperous in your relationships and prosperous in your workplace and prosperous, you know, in your ministry towards God and just prosperous in your life? I mean, don't you want that? And not only that, he goes on to says that for the Lord watches over the way of the righteous. And we talked about that, and he cleanses us from all unrighteousness.
Mm-hmm.
So then we can say, because of Jesus, I'm in right standing with God. So God watches over me because Jesus has made me righteous through his blood. I accept that by faith is what he's done. So if you want to be like the tree that's planted by the streams of water, who is able to have a fruitful life in your season, and everybody has a season. There's a season in your life. There's a lot of smaller seasons, but there's a season that things, everything's focused into that season, and all of a sudden you're going to begin to produce. Even Jesus, he had a 3-year season that just rocked all creation, and we tell time by it, and we walk through the gateway of his season into the presence of God. I mean, everybody's got a season. And so you just got to stay there in this place and know that when your season comes, And it could be in business industry, it could be in relationship, it can be ministry, it could be a combination of all these different things. But in your season, let's think about it, who is able to be fruitful in your life seasons, think about that, whose life and all that is around you produces, think about it, produces and is able to take from all the environment and through some spiritual photosynthesis.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that's around you that nobody else can do because you're a tree, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not bending and blowing and all that, but you're a tree.
Right.
You're a tree, like an oak tree.
An oak tree.
An oak tree. And you convert what other people couldn't convert that brings you substance in your season and bears fruit.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's rocks around you, and there's other things around you that can't do what you can do because you're blessed and you're planted by a tree. And all of a sudden, you can take your environmental situation because of what God's doing through your life, and just like a leaf goes through photosynthesis, you can actually, through God's miraculous hand, begin to convert these things into things that bring you substance that make you fruitful in your life and prosperous in whatever you do. That's just awesome, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's just such a simple thing to do. It's just a simple thing to do. Just fall in love with God. Blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Quit following people who don't know Jesus and people who say they know Jesus, but you know their life screaming at you. They ain't got a clue who he is.
Mm-hmm.
Who is Jesus to you? It's a very important question you got to ask somebody. Mm-hmm. What Jesus said, who they say I am, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got to ask them, who's Jesus to you? It don't be, you know, people's like, you happen to know the man upstairs. What are you talking about? Who's the co-pilot? What are you talking about? And just nail it. Who is Jesus to you?
All right.
I mean, that's what I asked our governor mm-hmm. when he was running for office. Like, we don't have a lot of time. Look at me. Who is Jesus to you? And he began to just tell me who he was. It was a powerful testimony.
Mm-hmm.
And I needed to know that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all you need to know. Because some people say he's a carpenter, and some people say he's a teacher. Islam would say he's a prophet. You know, a lot of religions would say he's a good man.
Mm-hmm.
But God says, and believers say, and Christians say, he's the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
He's the Son of God. He is the access to God. He is the Holy Lamb of God, sacrificed for our sins, to pay the way for us to access God. I mean, it's a huge difference.
Mm.
So we bless as a man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. So you got to realize, I can't walk that way anymore. Well, that means I'm going to have not that many, you know, people I'm walking with. And he's like, right. Well, it's okay because it's a narrow way anyway. And you couldn't walk side by side because what narrow is, right?
That's right.
And wide is the way to the ungodly. Or stand in the way of sinners. Listen, remember, hey, just repent. Don't stand there. Get up. Run to the cross. Plead the blood of Jesus and quit acting like you're all self-righteous and realize you need Jesus and stay humble and go back to the revelation, if you haven't yet heard it on BFN TV, the cross of Christ and the dependency factor. God will empower you if you turn your faith and trust in his finished work on the cross. His Spirit will be released in your life to empower you amazingly to stay away from sin that you could, it was stuck to you like glue prior to you putting your trust in Jesus Christ and not into religion and not into your works. It's not something you're sinless, but it means it don't stick. And don't sit in the seat of the mocker. Delight yourself in the Word of God. Meditate on it day and night. And you found the secret to what? A fruitful, flourishing, lasting, prosperous life.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Can a public school censor the promotion of Christian events? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
Well, my question is, if it's okay for students to post on the bulletin board there in the schools, notices for the church youth group activities or plays and skits and events. My daughter's a senior at a public high school in Kirkland, Washington.
Well, let me tell you what the rule is on that. And if they allow community announcements, which a lot of them do, to take place in the schools, on the community bulletin board, and they'll have usually a school, and they'll talk about what's happening off campus, then it's perfectly fine to have a depiction or an advertisement for a youth event at the school, a concert, an event like this without any problem. The difficulty is, when you have this kind of situation, to make sure that it's open for community use.
Learn more about our work and receive timely updates on the most critical issues facing our country today by visiting us at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
You know, there's something about when you first get saved that the first thing that most people think about is like, there's nobody. There's nobody like me. Mm. And you're very thankful. You're grateful that God has forgiven you, but you're not sharing with anybody because you look at everybody else and you think, well, obviously all these folks are walking on water.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they talk about like these books. They got the books memorized, you know. They got like this book of Malachi and, you know, Matthew and Jonathan, you know, whatever they are. And so, you know, they're just like, oh, my goodness. And the greatest thing that we can do for each other is to tell them our story.
That's mm-hmm. right.
To let them know, you know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. People get hope when they find out you needed Jesus too.
That's right.
They get hope when they find out you're a sinner too, saved by grace, that God reached down in the depths of hell
mm-hmm.
and darkness and just great calamity and all your attempts to find yourself. And he introduced his Father through himself to you when you got saved.
Mm-hmm.
Sharing your story. Everybody's got a story.
That's right.
And we share a few of them. We share a few of them with you at meetmyfather.org. Well, listen, the whole purpose of Jesus' ministry was to make the Father known. That's our purpose. And our ministry is to make the Father known to you through his Son, Jesus Christ. Listen, get to know God through his awesome, awesome Son, Jesus Christ. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet my Father. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
Hey, John, I actually just got an iPhone. Do you have an iPhone?
You know, I do.
Really? Why'd you get an iPhone?
Well, I got an iPhone because I want to stay connected with my friends, family, and of course, you know, I love those apps.
Apps? Tell me what? Tell me about the apps.
Well, you know, apps, Steve, come on, I got to bring you 21st century.
Yeah, and I'm
apps
behind.
Apps is a way that you can stay connected. You know, I want you to know now that VFN Radio, we actually have an app where all of our radio listeners can download onto their phones. Now, whether you have an iPhone or you have an Android phone, we got you covered.
Wow.
You can go to the App Store for the iPhone or Google Play for your Android, type in the word VFN TV, and then download. And what that does is it allows you to take VFN Radio on the go. What do I mean? Listen, I enjoy listening on my computer, but sometimes I want to get in the car. You want to go to the beach, hang out with some friends, take your phone with you, select your VFN TV radio app, and you have all this access to live program. You have access to video content, messages, and so much more. I like to say it's VFN Radio on the go. I encourage you to download the app now. Go to your App Store or Google Play and type in VFN TV.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Of course, joining me is Pat and John. If you missed it, we just talked about how to have a fruitful, flourishing, lasting, prosperous life. I mean, think about that.
Mm.
You want success? I mean, put down all these success books and these ungodly counsel of people that think they figured things out. And
right.
You know what?
Made it up.
Yeah, the creator that actually gives us the air to breathe and holds everything together can take my environment and convert it for a resource for my life to be prosperous.
Mm.
I mean, you got it, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, we've been talking a lot about constitution as believers, Christians, how important it is and how blessed we are to live in America. This 230-year experiment has lasted pretty long and has sent you know, missionaries all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Charisma News is reporting that right now in China, you know, it's illegal for children under the age of 18, anyone under the age of 18, to actually attend any religious services.
Mm-hmm.
But just recently, about last month, a police raided a church gathering, a house church gathering, because Christianity and religious services are only sanctioned by the government. So you can only go to a government-sanctioned church legally.
Isn't it amazing how America has began to admire the government and talk positively about what they've done?
Yeah,
and even where church, you know, their church, you know what happened, what Mao did, and all this. Like, and then
we have leaders that carry Mao's little red book.
And then we went over there and had the Olympics there, and all of a sudden we gave them place. And it was interesting too how they put they made it look like some giant was walking across.
Yes.
And it's like, it makes you really wonder if there was some principality walking across there saying, this is my land.
Yeah, this is during the Olympics.
We're killing every baby that's over one in a family. Mm-hmm. We're doing all this stuff. And now America's fighting some of the same inner battles that China, that you're talking about, because we can see that on the cusp of what's going on. And so they're mowing down the church.
Mowing it down.
Which they've been doing for years, but now they're actually...
Oh, it's public. I mean, now they're showing up to these believers' homes in normal clothes, not in police. They thought they were being robbed. They were gathering together and because they refused to identify themselves.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. That's like deja vu. Did the street light shine on them or something?
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
They didn't identify themselves, showed up in street clothes, and then after they, you know, who was this now? This is in China.
No, who's the one showing up in street clothes?
The police.
In street clothes. Wow.
On a crackdown on illegal Christian gatherings. Crazy. So,
that sounds like California. They were having that.
California
and Colorado, they were talking about it.
And so they arrested these
not only Christian, but illegal Christian gatherings.
Right, because the only legal gathering for Christians in China is the government-sanctioned church. If you don't attend, which has a government-appointed pastor, by the way, who works for the government, and it's illegal to gather in your home, they've arrested some of the leaders. One of the leaders was arrested some time back, and he served 15-year sentence.
Wow.
If you ever read the book, The Heavenly Man, I mean, he has a tremendous testimony of just the years he would spend in prison and how God would escape him out of prisons and the trials that they went through to establish the underground church. And my understanding is they're like 130 million strong in China right now.
Wow. And this is the reason why our founding fathers 230 years ago wrote and had, you know, over a period of time as things begin to unfold, as they get the Declaration of Independence and eventually the Constitution and then the Bill of Civil Rights, the First Amendment builds exactly, it should make sense to you now when you see today what John's talking about right this moment, they don't have First Amendment rights. And this is what the First Amendment, your First Amendment, America, listen, this is, by the way, this is yours. This is your right.
Right.
As long as you want to keep it. Congress shall make no law representing the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. In other words, the government can do nothing about how you as a Christian want to gather. There's no such thing as an illegal gathering of Christians.
Right.
And then it goes on to say, or abridging the freedom of speech, which you can say anything you want to say in that, or of the press, or the rights of the people to assemble and to petition their government for redressing agreements. So not only can they assemble in America, but you can actually say, while we're assembling, we're talking about you.
That's right.
But isn't that, I mean, what you're talking about? God just brought that to me about that. This is a First Amendment. While we have the first civil right in the Bill of Civil Rights and the Bill of Rights in the Constitution, because that's what's going to happen here.
Like
if you throw
that.
It away, you know, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah. And throw it away, and how many of us don't even know? I mean, right now, you know, I've educated myself and still educating myself on the Constitution, and but for how many years, myself, lived ignorant of those rights that are available to me and to all the citizens, you know, in our country.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking about how a six-year-old, the previous month, a six-year-old who led a small Bible study in his neighborhood, he was arrested and detained, and they fined him these huge amounts of money.
Did you say six?
60-year-old. 60-year-old. And they arrested him. He had a Bible study for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And they arrested him and made him pay this huge fine. But you're looking at, you know, what are we taking for granted here in our own country? And maybe, you know, maybe it's, look, it's working for, you know, the church in China, 130 million strong. They're being persecuted. And think about evangelism in that perspective. Now, you're a believer in China.
I know, but I just... Come on, let's get it while we got air conditioning.
I know.
Come
I know.
On. Why do we have to be beat? Why do we have to be beat to obey? Why
I
do
know,
we have to be persecuted?
But
I mean, can you imagine that? I heard Pat gasping for air when he was tying his shoes. I couldn't imagine him trying to drink warm water. And oh, my goodness.
You think of evangelism in that perspective, you know, you're trying to share the gospel with someone, and the first thing they ask you, now, is this now the church? Is this the government-sponsored church you're talking about? Or
mm-hmm.
And yet instilled, like, oh, I don't know if, not exactly, we meet in our home. Isn't that kind of like illegal? And yet instilled, the church flourishes under that
type
of...
Is this a 501-912-3621? Is that what this is? If it's not a 6-4-3-2-1-8-6-2...
I don't know if I can attend that. It's illegal to attend that.
And part of their church training, by the way, is being able to learn how to jump out of a second-story window in case that happens. That's part of the church training.
Isn't that amazing?
And the Americans are like, I got to sit here through the whole 10 minutes of listening to... Amazing.
Amazing.
Mm.
Listen, if they can do it in China, my goodness, we can do it here in America.
What, get persecuted?
No, advance the gospel. I'm talking about advance the gospel. I mean, if they're willing to take those type of risks and be willing to be persecuted or will at whatever cost to share the, you know, they have to evangelize there too. You know what I mean? There's mm-hmm. not a bypass. They don't get a pass not to. And they're willing to continue to share the gospel. And it's happening. 130 million Christians are in China right now.
Right.
Somebody's telling somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ at a huge cost to them. You're worried about maybe losing a job or worried about your reputation.
Right.
They're talking about imprisonment, fines, and who knows what other type of beatings. You know, in line with that, Samuel Lamb, who was a house church leader, he just recently died in China, 88 years old.
Imagine him before the throne room of God, how all of heaven's just going like, shh.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because this is what he said in Hebrews, that the world was not worthy of these folks.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're in China and you're 88 and you've been leading the church in China, that... I mean, I can imagine the holy hush across there and the honor that this man is receiving in heaven.
Yeah. We're talking about a day yesterday about honoring our heroes. This, I mean, he's a hero.
Yeah.
He's a hero. Samuel Lamb. Today, they said the church that he helped birth has about 4,000 people that are believers that are part of the church, and they have 4 services. And what's amazing is that he went that long. I mean, he went that long. I want you to listen to a segment from CBN. As they share a little bit more about him.
Well, you may not know the name Samuel Lamb, but he was a hero of the Christian faith for millions of believers inside and outside of China. And he passed away on August 3rd at the age of 88. Lamb was arrested for his Christian faith during one of the first waves of persecution in Mao's China in the 1950s. He spent 20 years in Chinese labor camps. After his release, Lamb formed a house church and became one of the most influential leaders of China's underground church movement. One of his favorite themes was what he called the holy principle of more persecution, more growth.
And joining us now is CBN International correspondent Gary Lane. Gary has made several trips to China, and in fact, he met Samuel Lamb. Pastor Samuel, a significant player in the underground church movement, right?
Yes. He and Alan Yuen, I think, were probably the largest influencers of that movement in the mid-50s. You got to remember, this was a time when China was under the influence of Mao.
Yeah.
Communism was spreading their control over the government. But he said, no, we're not going to fall under the influence of the communist church.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to maintain our allegiance to the Lord.
He didn't see persecution as a bad thing.
No, he didn't. And I asked him about that, George. I said, Pastor Lamb, tell me about the persecution. How do you view this? And he said to me, you know, before I went to prison the first time, we had 200 members in my church.
Yeah.
I went to prison. When I got out of prison, it had grown to 900 members.
Wow.
He said, then the Chinese authorities came and they confiscated the church. After the confiscation, it had grown to 2,000 members. And then he smiled, that famous smile of his, and he looked at me and he said, persecution good for church.
Yeah.
And that was his motto, as Wendy had said earlier, more persecution, more growth.
You have met him personally. You recount a particular incident about this, about the issue of persecution.
Sure.
What was he like? Tell us about the encounter that you had.
Well, you saw the joy of the Lord on his face and that smile that was he's known for. And just a kind and gentle man, very compassionate, but very strong in his faith. And he often preached about Job. Mm. And he would say, you know, Job suffered, but we can overcome anything that the enemy throws at us, and this church will grow. And he insisted on maintaining his allegiance to an underground church,
yeah,
not directed by the communist authorities.
What's his legacy?
I think his legacy is standing firm in the faith, that overcoming faith, and the church growing and maintaining its allegiance to God first and foremost, rather than the state. And I think he's also schooled many young people who have risen up and will lead the church in the future.
And to that point, Gary, he's trained a lot of the upcoming generation today. And talk about the future of the Chinese church today as opposed to the time of Mao.
Well, it's bright, and I don't think we're seeing the persecution that Lam saw back in the 50s and 60s.
Yeah.
Some of that is like limited to local areas, but the church is going to grow. More persecution, more growth. It'll happen.
And do you see that even though there isn't that much persecution today, you are excited about the numbers of people turning to the Lord in China?
At least 80 million, maybe 100 million or so, many every day coming because of the work of men
like
Samuel Lam.
Fantastic.
What a blessing he was.
I know you count it as a privilege to have met him. Gary, thank you so much for the insight.
You.
Wendy?
Wasn't that awesome? The holy principle.
Yeah.
More persecution, more growth.
Yeah.
My goodness, Lord. Help us to walk in the footsteps of Samuel Lam.
Yeah.
And the church is continuing to stand firm and hold their allegiance to God. That's what you need, allegiance to God. And I'm amazed as we hear about his story and about his life and about his legacy. And
we're doing so many things trying to prevent persecution while we're not evangelizing.
Mm-hmm.
What, 95%?
Yeah. Don't evangelize. Don't share the gospel.
Don't share the gospel.
Don't lead
a single person
to the Lord.
Their entire life. While we're trying to, like, just don't hurt me.
Right.
Don't mess with my stuff and my things and my comfort and my convenience. Those are two bookend demons that are holding so many bookend demons holding people back because they don't want to give up. You know, I've worked this my entire life. And then right there at the very moment of they're going to see the Lord, they're like, can you go get the go? And everybody in America is a pastor. I don't care if they would have called Jesus a pastor probably.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody's an apostle, nobody's a prophet. I mean, they got some of those. And but the truth is, you are. Maybe they would call and say, okay, go get the pastor. Get the pastor. What's his name again?
Yeah, right.
You know, and because they want to be able to see if they're right with God because they're about to see him. And then they say, go get my family, you know, and they want the family to be around because they want to be right before them because they're not going to see them anymore. They're not going to see their family, but they know they're about to see God that moment. Imagine being in that moment and living your life like so many have for themselves and having all those regrets. And people try to prudy it up. I mean, you know, everybody's in a better place. Mm-hmm. That's another second level of hell. It's called a better place. But knowing that now, you can eliminate those regrets today.
Right.
I mean, wouldn't you just have peace of this man's walk? We could walk in a way that's like that. As a matter of fact, we're fixing to hear another article about how they bulldozed a man's house down that has over 50,000 people and Christians in this network, and they bulldozed his house down for the very same thing. They used the ordinances of the day that says this is farmland. You can't have that.
Wow.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You know, there's nothing like, you know, finding out about, you know, that Jesus wants a personal relationship with you. You know, John, how people say, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what people go, yes, and then the political correct answer, another religiously correct answer.
I go to church.
Yeah, I go to church. And so, but the thing is about it is that you know, it's such a common semantic. It's a common way of vocabulary of religious. It's like the religious jargon of the day. But you know, there is such a thing as a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, that he's the lover of your soul, and that, you know, he compares himself to the bridegroom, and we're the bride, and this intimacy, and he's preparing. I mean, you know, he wants to hang out with us because he loves you. He wants to hang out with you. I mean, and he wants you to want to hang out with him.
Right.
And we call, you know, it's abiding. I mean, think about it. You know, he talks about it in John chapter 15. You know, he just says that, he says, remain or abide in me. I think it's John 15:4. He says, abide in me or remain in me, and I will abide in you or remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must abide in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me or remain in me. And so, you know, sometimes we put the cart before the horse, and we're sitting here trying to do all this stuff for Jesus. And, you know, it's like, dude, it's a byproduct of a personal relationship with him.
That's right.
You know
what
I'm saying? It's overflow. Go ahead.
A lot of times, too, that you're asking a believer or a Christian these days, you know, why do you read the Bible? And sometimes the pat answer is just, I guess this is what I'm supposed to do. You know, I just got to do this chore, all right?
Two chapters a day.
Right.
Come heck or high water, two chapters a day.
And abiding is not something that we have to do. It's something that we get to do. Mm-hmm. And you know, oftentimes people think that, you know, it's only the pastor or the minister that can hear God's voice. But, you know, John 10, you know, it's my sheep know my voice. And that's an inheritance for all believers. And so every believer should be encouraged, you know, abiding, spending time and hearing his voice. And
when you think about it, I mean, it's just, you know, once you break the mindset and you realize that Jesus wants to talk to you. I mean, you got all these books that have been printed in the world, but the difference in the Bible is the fact that it's a living word, that it comes with the author, and that God explains it to you, and he speaks to you from the word, you know. And basically, it's just that, you know, people kind of know that they need to do this, and the enemy's kind of complicated it, you know what I'm saying? And it's just, you know, people want to do, they just need a simple plan to do that. And, you know, we put together a simple plan for, you know, that we personally do ourselves. You know, we walk out this plan, and we're seeing children, you know, walk in this plan. And when these children speak about what God is, how they're encountering God and what he's saying, adults lean forward and listen to them on VFN TV. Did you know, remember how that happens? Like, they begin to talk, and everybody like, I want to be the Bible man, you know, out of Texas. And everybody leans forward. Why? Because we know that God speaks to his people. Well, if that's you, if you're tired of religion and you're ready to walk with God, and God's obviously ready to walk with you, you know, he says, you can just put all the stuff aside that you've been trying to do and begin to abide with him. Because he says, apart from abiding in me, you can do nothing. So, you know, with that, you can actually go to iabide.org. Just go there today, iabide.org. You know, read over a little bit, and if you want to be able to request that plan, you could just request the plan, and it'll be sent to you immediately, John. Immediately.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, there's a video there. There's some explanation, a whole, everything you need to be able just to get started. Real simple, simple plan that we're seeing children, 8-year-olds, that are walking with God and hearing from God and just so excited, because when you start listening, I mean, what happens when somebody listens to you? You continue to talk, right?
That's right.
But if people stop listening, you stop talking, right?
Mm-hmm.
And quite often is, if you want to hear God talk to you, you got to start listening to him, and you'll find out he wants to hear what you're saying, but you have to want to hear what he's saying.
That's right.
And the definition of abide, everything you need is there. iabide.org. Request that simple plan today at iabide.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Joining me is Pat and John. John, it just really makes me, I remember when reading the book by Jim, I'll think of his last name in a moment, that wrote the book Mega Shift. And think about his name for me. In China, this one particular man, obviously an apostle, Christian, had, I believe, over 300,000, maybe even more than that, at least 300,000 members, Christians, that he was responsible for. Jim Rutz, R-U-T-Z, Jim Rutz, Megashift, good book. It'll just explode your faith. He talks quite often about China in it because that's a part of us, the church, that's really we can pay attention to and be inspired by. But he's a farmer, and he had like 300,000 Christians in his ministry that he was responsible for. And all he had was a cell phone in his back pocket, and he was working the farm that he had.
Right.
But it was done in wisdom and in a way that it had to be done in that particular environment. But hey, I mean, think about it. How many people say, I can't do it because I don't have money. Look at everything that we have to help us do even so much more. I mean, it could take a moment to evangelize the world. I mean, it wouldn't take long at all to be able to do it. But, you know, also, but you're about to hear an article from CBN that you can hear that kind of just kind of coincides with, and this is something that was laid on my heart. This is somebody that was similar. They were church leaders, and they had a network of churches. And but in China, they were meeting in covert areas, predominantly houses and things of that nature, because you couldn't, as you just said, John reported that, and Charisma is reporting that you can't even go to church at 8 that you're 18 years old.
And is that?
And here is they use of course, in China, by the way, just so you know it, the government owns all the land. Every bit of it's owned by the government. They just very recently started paying off some of the cronies that have worked in the government all these years and allowing them to have their own land. But that's probably like, you can't even come up with a percentile. It's so small. It's lower than one millionth of 1%, I'm sure. And that's why the government can just tear down your entire complex and decide to do something different there because they own it all. Well, we don't need that to happen. But here you'll find out they're using the laws, the local laws, that says, you know, this is farmland, this is residential, this is commercial, to be able to destroy this church leader, this couple who's a church leader, destroy their home. They push it. As a matter of fact, listen up to this report. This is exactly what one of the principles of, what do you call it?
A holy principle.
A holy principle is
more persecution, more growth.
Do you want more growth? Listen up.
From China to America, separated from family.
My dad cried because he really missed me. He don't want me to go to the university. That's too far from home, so he cannot see me.
7,000 miles from home, Chinese student Esther Yang Su was attending seminary in the United States when she learned that her parents had been arrested in the middle of the night.
For me, it's no sense. They took them away and destroy the church.
In her first television interview since that incident, Esther told CBN News she often cries for her parents.
I'm worried about them be physical beaten or be hurt. I don't want that happen to them. And I also hope them they can have food to eat and they can sleep with warmth. Because the north part in China is really cold in winter.
Esther's father, Yang Xuan, and mother, Yang Kaizhen, were among those leading the unregistered Linfan Fushan Church in China's Shaanxi province. Before dawn on September 13, 2009, a crowd of 400 police and other officials raided the church as Christians slept at the church construction site. Some were beaten. At least 30 were injured. 10 church leaders were arrested. Bob Fu is founder and president of China Aid Association, a Texas-based ministry that helps persecuted Chinese Christians.
This church is an evangelical house church with about 50,000 members. And it actually is part of the heritage church from the first of the China Inland Mission. Actually, Linfan is known all over China as the Chinese house church's liberation zone. to describe how impactful and influential of this church has been in this area.
And perhaps that's why Chinese government officials felt threatened, felt they had to crack down.
Government officials charged the Lin Fen pastors with unlawfully occupying agricultural land and gathering to disturb the traffic order.
When they were brought to trial last November, they were fined and given prison sentences ranging from 2 to 7 years. Esther's mother, Kai Zhen, received 2 years Lao Gai. That's re-education through labor. Her father, Xuan, received 3.5 years imprisonment. Gordon Chang is a China analyst with Forbes magazine. He says the government is fighting a losing battle against the church in China.
The underground churches, those that are completely considered to be illegal, and the regime tries to stamp them out, but they can't because there are just so many people. And so basically the Communist Party is creating enemies for itself, because in this struggle we can see that faith is so much stronger than the government.
Esther says she believes her father's faith is being strengthened through this experience.
For him, it's encouraging. It's a test from God in order to make us stronger or more love to the God.
While Esther's passion has been renewed, she still misses her parents. She's upset her family could not be together this year to celebrate the spring festival, the Chinese New Year.
And I also cannot hear their voice. I even don't know where they are now. So when I think about this, I'm really sad. I'm really upset.
Tom White is executive director of the Voice of the Martyrs.
She's still pretty torn up about it, but her faith remains strong. She sees the larger picture. I think there's a type of joy you can have even while you're grieving. It's that greater sense that we are immortal in Christ. The church will not lose.
Esther has written a letter of appeal asking the international community to intercede for religious prisoners in China.
We have a big family in the Lord. Pray for them. God still loves them, even they are in the prison.
Gary Lane, CBN News.
Totally amazing, wow. Is it not? Three wow. years in prison for the husband and 2 years for the wife, and their home, and you, I mean, think about it, your home being totally mowed down and destroyed, and he sees it as something that is going to help build his faith.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't really realize, we don't realize it at the time when we begin to go through things, that this is going to make us stronger.
That's right.
But I think of the words of Joseph, who obviously journey was, you know, ridiculously horrific.
Mm-hmm.
And he did nothing but, you know, what was written about his life was good. And when he came through it all, he understood what these men and women in China and those in past are talking about. He understood that what you meant for evil, God meant for good.
Mm-hmm.
That God was allowing these things to take place. It's our rough encounters. It's our fights, if you would. Our spiritual warfare fights that make us stronger.
Mm-hmm.
I know that in law enforcement, that when you had to fight for your life, and you learn so much from those instances when, you know, things are going bad. And you come out of that, you're actually a better officer because you grew in so much wisdom. Well, and if you'll fight the good fight of faith, if you'll get out and realize that God's totally in control, when these things happen, and they will happen,
mm-hmm.
you understand what Jesus said, cheer up, I've overcome all this.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to strengthen your faith. Dear God, we pray for the persecuted church. We ask you, Lord, to meet with them, encourage them, and help us, give us a grace that we can stand up in the freedom and the blessing and the everything that you've done for us in America, and be the voice, the city on a hill that our former president, Ronald Reagan, used to talk about. It's time to shine the light. It's time to go into all the world. Yeah, just a brief before we close, I'll let you know, it was America that sent missionaries to China.
Right.
But now it's time for China to send missionaries back to America.
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at VFNTV.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at VFNTV.com. You're listening to VFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.
Thank you for everybody that's joining in on our Facebook. You know, you can get to it by going to VFNTV.com or you can go to Facebook.com/VFNTV. Easier to go to VFNTV and click on that. But think about it. It is so cool. Every day, no matter where you are, inside the community with over a billion people now, 1/6 of the world's population is in this particular community. Everybody's saying, you got a Facebook. We got a Facebook. Mm-hmm. We got a Facebook, and it's over 5,000. It's just clicking up, and just you're joining us, and we're so excited about that because every day we're in communication. All the highlights that are on your VFNTV app, that's at VFNTV.com, is also on your Facebook, so it follows us everywhere we go. We got a virtual audience, a virtual stadium, if you would, that's being filled all around the world, and now we're in the Facebook community. Thank you, and if you have not yet, you know, go to our Facebook and like us. Go to Facebook.com/VFNTV and click on like. And what does that mean? When you do that, every post that goes out on our Facebook shows up on your Facebook every single day. So you can say, hey, that segment was about me. I want to be encouraged today. Maybe every day you listen to the Wisdom Moment. Maybe there's God's news behind the news and something's coming up that says, you know, I needed to know what God's perspective, the word is on that particular thing. Listen, this is the conversation that we're having together in the virtual audience of our Facebook. Go to VFNTV.com and click on our Facebook or at VFNFacebook.com/VFNTV.
Wow. At VFN Radio, we are looking for greater ways for you to be able to connect anywhere you go. We know that you can listen to VFN Radio on the go through the app, but now we also have the podcast. It's a great way for you to be able to automatically get all the segments totally downloaded to your digital device, no matter where you're at. You can go to VFNTV.com and click podcast, and you'll configure it and set it up so that no matter where you're at, you automatically have all of the highlights automatically downloaded on your digital device. VFNTV.com, click podcast.
You know, I want to encourage you, as you're listening to VFN Radio every day, we're 24/7, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're live 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central, but we're 24/7, anytime, any time zone, all the way from Okinawa, Japan to San Diego, California. You know what I'm saying? You can come on to VFNTV.com or download our app and listen live. But we also have highlights. We actually have an entire 2-hour broadcast broken up into certain segments that you can, something, you know, it just may be on your heart or on your, you wanted to hear that one thing. It's all you have time for. It's all you wanted to hear. And that's why we do that. And you can go right to that on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com and click on the Torch. Or you can go to your app and just kind of thumb through the names of the highlights and listen to that one segment. But that's all for you. We want to deliver everything that we're called to deliver to you in any way that we can that helps you meet your need at that time. Sometimes you can't, you just don't have time to get it this way. You have to get it that way. And sometimes you don't have time to get it that way. You get it this way. So don't forget, you can go to VFNTV.com. You can go to VFNTV.com and it's there for you.